In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus is at it again, teaching his disciples, or at least trying to teach them. Passing through Galilee on his return trip from Caesarea Philippi to Jerusalem, his disciples tagging along behind him, Jesus begins teaching. And for the second time, he predicts his passion and resurrection. He says to those around him, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise again." And for the second time, the disciples are bewildered and in denial by what he has to say. Mark writes, "They did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask." Instead of bravely asking Jesus to explain this confusing and frightening prediction of impending death that he kept referring to, they withdrew their attention from him and retreated into self-preoccupation. They began to argue among themselves. They bickered over who was the greatest, who was the most likely to be seen worthy in Jesus' eyes. They were concerned with their own well-being, their own safety. The disciples turned to worldly beliefs of how to achieve status and value, an attempt to ensure their personal well-being. They turned away from entering into conversation with Jesus, away from understanding and enriching their relationship with Jesus, away from God. Looking at all of this from a postmodern approach, I guess we could safely say that the disciples were in shock. They had given up everything, absolutely everything, to follow Jesus. They believed that he was their Savior, their long-awaited Messiah. Now, he tells them that he will soon suffer and be condemned, just like any other ordinary criminal. They've been deceived. The person they had trusted no longer seems trustworthy. So, rather than face the terrifying possibility that their teacher was not their Savior, the long-awaited Messiah, they turned to thoughts of self, self-protection, self-aggrandizement. They fought over foolish concerns of who is the greatest, who is the most likely to be favored by Jesus. In their distress and self-absorption, they denied the Christ in their presence. They turned away from God to the perceived safety net of worldly values of self and self-importance. Once Jesus and the disciples reached Galilee, where they planned to rest for a while, Jesus asked the disciples what they had been discussing as they walked behind him. The disciples were silent, perhaps ashamed of their lack of faith and their petty and self-centered behavior. They need not have worried about their delayed response, because almost immediately Jesus answered his own question and offered two teachings that pointed to the uselessness of the disciples' self-centeredness and lack of faith. Jesus first proclaimed, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." An upside-down way of looking at the world, even in ancient times, when one's role in society and their status was the hallmark of their worth. Then he noticed a small child who was standing nearby. He took the child into his arms and said, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. In other words, God. It is important to note that in Jesus' time, children were considered non-persons, inconsequential beings. They were viewed as having no value whatsoever in society. Their only function was to remain at home and carry out chores or be servants in wealthy households. In ancient times, children were the lowest of the low. They were inconsequential until they reached adolescence, and then they were viewed as adults. Jesus reversed this ancient custom of diminishing the value of children and instead glorified the child. The child became an invaluable human being whom he welcomed into his arms and then onto his lap. Jesus implied that not only this child, but by extension any child or anyone who in their innocence, faith, and welcoming seeks a close relationship with Jesus will then have a direct relationship with God, will be seen as God, by God, as one of his own. Whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. Disciples seeking glory and status, beware. Your importance is in your minds only. Jesus recognizes as worthy of being welcomed by God not those who concern themselves with power and status in the world, but rather, despite age or social status, those who seek a relationship with Jesus, those who seek to follow the words and the values of Jesus. In today's reading from the letter of James, James, without mincing words, underscores Jesus' teaching. James targets Christians who are not practicing what they're preaching. He calls for a conversion to a purity of heart, saying, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you." For James, faith in Jesus means relating to God in a manner shaped by the words and the ways of Jesus, and above all, by his declaration that loving the neighbor as oneself is, in James's words, the royal law. He urges his audience to show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. For James, adhering to this royal law is not easy. Indeed, it is a constant battle. One's conversion to seeking a close relationship with God in all matters is never complete. It's not a one-time conversion. Rather, it's an ongoing process, slowly and painfully achieved through the process of many conversions. Through many battles waged within ourselves to rid ourselves of envy and selfish ambition. Through many struggles to live a good life filled with deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. James understood the challenges that we all face in our desire to answer Jesus' command, "Follow me." Now let's fast forward to the present. At this triennium's National Convention of the Episcopal Church, Presiding Bishop Michael Curry gave several incredibly stirring sermons. One could watch each one of them several times and still be learning new things. However, it was his first sermon, the sermon that he preached as an opening to the convention itself, that has a most critical message for all of us Episcopalians who seek to be dynamically engaged in what Bishop Curry calls the Jesus movement, to be dynamically engaged in a relationship with Jesus. Bishop Curry's sermon has immediate and direct bearing on the direction he hopes and prays the church will move as a united body and without delay. In his sermon, The Way of Love, Bishop Curry outlined a way of life that is designed to bring us into closer relationship with Jesus, a relationship that will guide and strengthen us as we follow him in our lives and in the world around us. This way or rule of life is centered around seven basic principles: turn, learn, pray, worship, bless, go, rest. To turn, to pause, listen, and choose to follow Jesus. To learn from Jesus, to listen to and reflect on his healings and his teachings. To pray, to commit ourselves to allowing God to be present in our lives each and every day. To worship, to reflect on Jesus' healings and teaching, to attend to his words as a way of drawing nearer to God, nearer to God. To bless, to participate in the ministry of Jesus by sharing our faith and unselfishly giving and sharing. To go, to cross boundaries, to listen deeply, and to live like Jesus. And finally, to rest, to receive the gift of God's grace, peace, and restoration in order to continue to meet and overcome the temptations and worldly concerns that beset us all. It strikes me that this rule is very much what Jesus and James were speaking of over 2,000 years ago. Jesus asked those whom he chose to follow me, to turn to a life centered around listening to and following Jesus. James asked us to develop a purity of heart by submitting ourselves to God and resisting the devil. If Jesus is our model, the one who points the way to God, then without question, James is both our coach and our cheerleader. As I consider the world around me, both near and far, I see very sadly divisiveness, poverty, anger, violence, and social isolation. I see tremendous sadness and disillusionment. I hear many stories of confusion and for the concern of the future of our society. However, I also see love. I see love, hope, and enormous acts of charity and love. In the most unsuspecting places and among people that, in my mind, I imagine have little or nothing to do with any particular church, I see the most incredible acts of kindness, the most beautiful acts of love. I see a way of being that directs me to God. I see the way of love. God's light still shines. In the coming weeks, St. Simon's will once again embark on a series of sharing faith dinners that will focus on questions related to Bishop Curry's Way of Love sermon. We who have already experienced the conversion of seeking a closer relationship with God will have the opportunity to engage in the ongoing work of renewing and refreshing that relationship through intentional reflection and prayer. Together, we will strengthen our participation in the ministry of Jesus by listening deeply, sharing our faith, and being in the world as the other way of being, a way of being that gives witness to the love, justice, and truth of God with our lips and in our lives. We will reinforce our participation in shining the light of God throughout our community and throughout the world. In his last published work, Convictions, theologian Marcus Borg wrote, "What's it all about? What's the Christian life all about? It's about loving God and loving what God loves. It's about becoming passionate about God and participating in God's passion for a different kind of world here and now. Let us not be like the disciples who were unable to understand what Jesus had to say and too afraid to ask. Let us pay attention to Jesus, to James, to Borg, and to so many others who direct us to God. Let us strengthen our faith through sharing conversations that inform us of how the light of God shines within each and every one of us. Let us strengthen our ability to be disciples that James urges us to be, wise and understanding, living a good life in which our works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. Let us heed Jesus' command, follow me. Let us show the world a way of being that defies the evil and darkness that lurks in every corner of our lives, waiting, just waiting. Let us shine God's light brightly. Let us love God and love what God loves. Amen."